I'm very much an introvert. And so, you know, to still say, you know, this is something that I think you could help me with was a difficult thing to do, but it's so rewarding. And that other person almost always is going to be willing to help if you ask them.
The Women in Tech podcast is an independent production funded by you, the community. To support Women in Tech, if you believe in the vision as much as we do, please consider going to womenintechpodcast.com. That's womenintechpodcast.com, and just click on the contribution link to keep this podcast going. Thank you.
Welcome back to the Women in Tech podcast. I am in Wilmington, North Carolina. So excited to be at Castle Branch, also Tech Mountain. It's this really cool collaborative space in Wilmington, encouraging startups, innovation, collaboration. I love being here, and I feel like it's such a blessing that I'm getting to know the extraordinary women in tech who reside here. So I'd like to welcome to the show someone whose story I think you're going to find really, really powerful, as do I. Her name is Lauren. She is the CFO at Castle Branch, and her story is something that we can all achieve. And so that's why I think it's really important to share it. But I'd like to start, she's going to tell us a little bit about herself, but definitely talk about how you feel about being on this podcast too. So why don't you kick it off and tell us who you are?
Yeah, so I'm Lauren Henderson. And again, I'm the CFO here at Castle Branch and Tech Mountain. And I'm going to preface all this by saying this is something very different for me. Being a CFO, being a numbers person, I'm usually the one, you know, but behind the curtain, you know, providing information,
definitely,
not being the one speaking.
So. Definitely. And so what is Castle Branch?
So Castle Branch started off as a background check company, but we've moved into a company that does so much more. Really, our main mission is to help college and university students, mainly in the nursing and allied health fields, manage their clinical experience. All of these students have to do a clinical rotation in order to get their nursing license or become certified in what they want to do. And we help facilitate that for them.
And you do this via technology.
We do, exactly. So we really started with having this be an online tool where the students were able to place their own orders for their background checks, which helped streamline that process between them and the school administrators that they needed to work with.
And when did you start working with Castle Branch?
So I started with Castle Branch in early 2006. So a little over 11 years here.
And what was the very first role you had at Castle Branch?
So I was the accounts payable assistant.
And what, as an accounts payable assistant, what level is that?
You know, that is entry level.
It's the entry level to the entry level.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, was my first role really out of college.
Was it your first time working in the technology industry?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
And now you're the CFO.
Yes.
And just in case, what is a CFO?
It's the chief financial officer. So what that role does is really manage all financial aspects of the company.
And so you went from being in an entry level to the entry level position to one of the key executives in the organization.
Yes, it's been an incredible ride.
And how many people work at Castle Branch in total?
We're close to 400 right now.
All right. So you guys, I just want you to get the picture that she's the CFO of a 400 person company, approximately, mm-hmm. give or take. And she started where we can all start.
Exactly.
So this is very attainable. So let's get into your story.
So when I first started, there was a gentleman here that was the CFO at the time. And he really saw something in me and saw that he could help me grow in my journey with Castle Branch. So this was a gentleman who had worked up in New York and New Jersey and was a senior executive for Lipton Unilever, and really high up in their finance area. And he had retired, moved down to Wilmington, decided he did not want to be retired anymore, and started working for Castle Branch.
But the way one of your teammates told me is he came in and he asked for an internship, right? Is that true?
Not quite that level, but accounting manager.
Yeah.
So, you know, from a you know, high level senior executive position at Lipton Unilever to coming in to being an accounting manager for some company that maybe had 30, 40 employees at that time was something quite different. He phrased it as if he had to hit another golf ball, he was going to go crazy.
So. I love it. Mm-hmm. So he becomes CFO.
Exactly.
And because your team here, and you weren't here at the time, right?
I wasn't when he started.
Right. Mm-hmm. And your team was like, no, this guy can't be an accounts manager. You could be our CFO.
Exactly.
And then when did you come into play and when did that relationship begin?
So I probably started about a year and a half after he did. And so again, started in early 2006. And so for that first year, I was the accounts payable assistant, really working through that. We had an opportunity where there's some growth in the department and I was promoted to assistant accounting manager.
Yeah.
And Tim sat me down for that first promotion.
That's your mentor.
Exactly. Yeah. That was my mentor. He sat me down for that first promotion. He said, "You're not going to work at Castle Branch for forever." He said, "You know, that's okay. You're going to go somewhere else down the road. You'll make a ton more money. That's fine. But in the meantime, I'm going to teach you absolutely everything I can because you'll be more valuable to me now, and then you'll be more valuable to someone else down the line." And then
Amazing.
He said, "But who knows? Maybe one day you'll take over for me."
Yeah. And what did you, I mean, this is so cool to share the story. What did you feel, what thoughts went through your head when he suggested that to you?
Wow, here's this gentleman who had so much experience, was so smart, and he was willing to invest his time in me, because that time is so valuable. You know, that's a resource you can't get back at all. Mm-hmm. And so for someone to say that he wanted to put his time into working with me so that I can grow into a better person, better employee, better finance person.
Yeah.
You can't trade that for anything.
Did you believe it was possible that you could possibly be the CFO one day at that time?
Not at that time, no.
No?
No.
And what do you think it was about you, something that we could all take away from this conversation, that inspired him to want to generously give you his mm-hmm. time? Why were you selected?
So I'll give one specific example. The accounting department, back then, we were a small group and in a small office together. And we'd sometimes order pizza and have a pizza party. And so this one day he comes back and we're sitting there having pizza, and we had door locks that had the different numbers that you could press have different combination codes. And so he starts asking about how many exact codes there could be, how many combinations there could be. And so I challenged him and told him that I didn't agree with him, that I thought it was this answer, and this is how you could mathematically get to that.
Yeah.
And an IT guy walked in the door right then, and so he asked him, "Hey, this is what Lauren says." And the IT guy agreed with me. Huh. And the guy laughed, you know, Tim just laughed and thought it was great that I was willing to challenge him, as a new accounts payable person and say, "Hey, this is how I think it is.
Yeah.
You know, this is what I think the answer is."
I love that you weren't afraid to share your voice.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. Yeah. And do you have, before we continue on in the story, do you have any, like, what was your mindset at that time? Because it's scary to share your voice, is what I'm getting at. So what was your mindset that maybe we could all adopt so that we could share our voices better?
So numbers have always been something that I was very passionate about. So being able to talk about numbers and being able to be in that role gave me a level of comfort, because it was something that I really, truly was passionate about. And I think if you find that thing that you feel that way about, it gives you the comfort level to be able to share your thoughts.
Right. And I love that. I love that. I mean, I actually just gave a talk here today, and a lot of it was about identifying what is our dream life? Who are we in that dream life? And if we're not that today, what do we need? Let's identify how we can get there and then take action. And I love that you knew that about yourself. And I think it's scary to communicate what we want. And it's even harder if we don't even know what we want to start with. And so to figure out what you're passionate about in order to be able to share that message with everybody around you. So, okay. So he takes you as his mentee. Mm-hmm. What does that relationship look like?
So at that point, he got me really involved with working on the financials for the company, which is, promoted a high level of trust right off the bat, because you know, we're a privately held company, so to start sharing that information is a big deal. And we would sit there and go over reports together.
Right.
And he would ask me questions. You know, what do you think? What do you think this should be? Why do you think this is that? And he would really want to hear my thoughts and then the reason for that thought. So that he was really walking through a process of not just teaching me to say a number, but what's the thought behind that number?
Right, right.
What's my reason? So he was really helping to train my thought process,
right,
which I think is incredibly important.
Yeah, 100%. And what did you learn about yourself? How were you thinking before? And then how did you evolve your thinking after?
You know, it led me to not just look at the surface level. Hey, let's look at what's causing something rather than just saying, hey, this is what the number is. These are the underlying factors that are driving us to be at this stage.
So he inspired you to start questioning information.
Exactly.
In an empowering way.
Exactly.
In like an investigative explorer, not in a negative, like paranoia question everything, but like in a way that you could use that data to create something more effective.
Exactly. And in a safe way that was leading me to be able to trust my judgment too.
I love that. Yeah. And then how often did you meet?
You know, we probably met a couple times a week at that time. You know, as we developed further, you know, as he trained me more, that became a little bit less. You know, the next part of the story though is what gets a little tougher on that, because about 7.5 years ago or so, he got diagnosed with cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And so at that point, he had to step out of the business. And so he wasn't as actively involved at that point in time.
Right. That's so sad.
Yeah.
It's so sad. It's weird. It's so sad, of course, but it's also, there's something about it that I think is this beautiful story, that here's this guy that really knew how he wanted to live while he was here.
Yeah.
And he did it.
Exactly. And so even while he was sick, he trusted me to step into that role more. And so we stayed in contact while he was out of the office, and really he challenged me even more. You know, asked tougher questions, really had me thinking about things even more, trusting me to put together the full budget and present it to the owners of our company.
Was it scary?
Yeah, absolutely. But the fact that he was letting me do that, I knew he trusted me.
Yeah.
And when you have that feeling that you know that the person you're doing that work for trusts you to do it, you're empowered to do it.
It's amazing.
You know, the hard part is that he passed away about 6.5 years ago now. But during that year when he was really pushing me forward and questioning me and testing me and having me take a bigger role, you know, he was really promoting me to the owners of the company, saying, you know, she can do this. You know, she really can. You don't need to bring in another finance person. Give her the chance to do it. And here I am today, you know, being the CFO of the company. So
incredible.
It's pretty incredible.
And how it's, you know, this is such a cool story, but I also know that there's so many people listening right now that they're like, yeah, that would be great if someone could mentor me, if someone could believe. How can we together in sharing this conversation create that reality for others? Like, what can we do? Who can we be to attract a mentor into our life? Where do we look? Can you help us with that?
Yeah, you know, it can come in many different areas. So, you know, for me personally, I believe I mentor a few other people here at the office because I think that's important. At your school, you know, starting in college, so many people and women as well are willing to work with college students to help mentor them. Some schools have formal programs, some don't, but that's a great time period to really reach out to people because they know you're in a learning time.
Totally.
You know, so many different communities are doing different groups where their reason for existing is to help one another and grow leadership in the area.
Yeah.
I'm a board member of a local group that we have. It's the Wilma Women's Leadership Accelerator Program. And the whole premise of that program is really just to build women's leadership in Wilmington. And there's a list of, you know, over 100 women that are participating in this that are willing to mentor and help other women and people trying to grow in their careers.
Where can we find out more about that program?
That website is WilmaOnTheWeb.com.
Perfect.
And it's a link to their Leadership Accelerator.
And you guys will include it in the show notes as well. And so, and there's all these cool organizations that sometimes we forget about. SCORE.
Yeah.
SCORE is, forget what SCORE even stands for, but if you Google it, it's a organization of retired business people mm-hmm. who literally want to contribute their time and mentor others. In Los Angeles, we have a program called Big Soul Exchange mm-hmm. That offers mentorship. I think a really cool way to get mentorship as well is, especially if it doesn't matter how old you are, is getting an internship and like letting the people around you know, I'm seeking out mentor in this role, mentorship in yeah. this role. My main MO in taking on this internship is mentorship. Letting even the hiring staff know, like, is that part of what you're going to provide me? But it goes back to really identifying who you are and communicating what you want and what you desire. Because if you don't let the people you work with or your surroundings know that you want a mentor, that you want to grow, mm-hmm. you can't expect someone to just offer that up to you.
Absolutely. You know, I think it's pushing yourself out of your comfort zone to ask for the help that you need and want.
Yeah.
So I recently did ask another woman to be my mentor too, because she has different skill sets that
yeah.
I don't have.
Yeah.
And so to ask for that was really difficult for me. I'm very much an introvert. And so, you know, to still say, you know, this is something that I think you could help me with was a difficult thing to do, but it's so rewarding. And that other person almost always is going to be willing to help if you ask them that.
Totally. And I love that. And I love that, see, even you as a CFO for a 400 person company, it's you never in life reach a state of I figured it all out.
Right.
There's always other levels.
Exactly.
So that's so cool. What does a mentorship look like? Like a lot of people come to me and ask me, they ask, how do I find a mentor? And then what is mentorship? Mm-hmm. So what does it look like to everybody listening right now? Does it look like weekly phone calls? Is it an in-person meeting? What kind of expectations can I have of a typical mentorship?
So I think that's a really interesting question, because I think it can vary per mentorship. So in my current mentorship role where I'm being mentored, you know, it's a monthly face-to-face meeting with the availability to reach out by phone if there's something that comes up that I really want to talk about. That time schedule is what works for us, but those are things that we talked about ahead of time. Setting those expectations on both sides of
yes.
this is what I'm looking for and this is what I can give to make sure that we're aligned, that helps so much to really level set those expectations going in.
And I think the biggest thing that I would love for you guys to take away is ask. If someone says no, then ask again. Not to them, maybe to someone else, or maybe ask the same person 6 months from then. Like put it down like it's a no for now. It's not a no forever.
Yeah.
And ask them later. I've asked Tony Hsieh from Zappos to be my mentor. I asked the founder of staff.com to be my mentor. These are all people that I've emailed cold mm-hmm. to just say, hey, and I said, here's what I'm looking for. I remember specifically when I wrote Rob, he became my mentor of staff.com. I said, he also owns a company called Time Doctor. And I said, you know, here's what I want. Right. If you don't like my personality or don't mm-hmm. care for me after one time, totally fine. But just give me a shot. Just one time just to see. And that now he's been stuck with me for years.
Yeah. No, but that's great. But having the clarity of what you're looking for, I think is really important in that ask.
Yeah. And I love that you actually made it really clear. It's about what your expectations are and what you could do for the person. Mm-hmm. It's not just about what you can take.
Absolutely.
So I know a lot of people right now are thinking, well, what can I do? They're in a higher place that I'm at. What could I possibly give them? How would you respond to that?
So even for this person, being able to talk through some of the challenges that they're having, we're able to do that together. And because even just being different individuals, we're able to provide different insights.
Yeah.
So,
and there's a mentorship program at Tech Mountain, right?
There is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Tech Mountain, which we haven't talked about much.
Let's talk about it a little bit. It's really cool. So Tech Mountain is, a division of Castle Branch.
It is. So it's, a division of Castle Branch that we started about 3 years ago. And some of the real reasons for starting it were that as we became a growing company, we realized that it was harder for us to stay as innovative as we'd like to be.
Right.
And so we thought that it was really important to put a focus on that. So breaking out this team and putting it in our building and building this culture has really pushed Castle Branch itself to remain innovative and continue to grow.
Right.
So that's just been a great dynamic for us. The other part of it, though, is really trying to improve the technology community in Wilmington, North Carolina.
I love it. Mm-hmm.
And so it's been incredible to see how this place has grown.
What's one example? Like, how was it 3 years ago versus today?
So 3 years ago today, we had a couple people sitting at some of the pod seats, a couple of the offices filled, and half of the floor here was completely empty. Today, we don't have an open office seat at all.
I mean, that's a huge difference.
A huge difference. Exactly.
And what does a mentorship program here look like?
So we have a lot of executives from different areas. There are some retired, some still active, people who have been involved in all different type of businesses that sit here and hold office hours to be able to work with the different startups and small companies and individuals that we have here working on Tech Mountain.
You know, one thing I would love is I would love it if you guys are listening, think about who you'd like to mentor and who you'd like to be your mentor. Reach out to them as scared as you are right now and then tweet at Women in Tech Show. I reached out to a potential mentor today, and if you want, let us know who it was or however you want to say it. But just to see like that, you could change your life. Mm-hmm. You started out as an entry level to an entry level, and now you're the CFO.
Yes.
It's incredible. Yes. How can people stay in touch with you?
My email address is laurenh@castlebranch.com. laurenh@castlebranch.com.
Perfect. And are you on the social media sphere at all?
Yeah. So LinkedIn, that's probably the best way on social media.
Awesome. Thank you so much for spending your time with the Women in Tech podcast. Your story is, it's so inspiring and so cool.
Thank you. And thank you for being here at Tech Mountain.
Yeah, of course. You guys, if you want to connect and collaborate with more extraordinary women in tech, be sure to go to the Women in Tech Facebook page, which you can, Facebook group, not page, Facebook. If you want to go to the page, go there too, like it. But primarily the Facebook group so that you could collaborate and connect. And you just go there, womenintechvip.com/ to the Facebook group so you could access it more easy. Remember to tweet at Women in Tech Show to say hello, and I will see you, hear you, talk to you in the next episode. Bye.
Bye.
The Women in Tech podcast is an independent production funded by you, the community. To support Women in Tech, if you believe in the vision as much as we do, please consider going to womenintechpodcast.com. That's womenintechpodcast.com, and just click on the contribution link to keep this podcast going. Thank you.